I do want to just get a note here in on emerging markets, because the MSCI Emerging Markets Currency Index is now dropping today for the biggest one-day drop. It's the biggest since March of last year. And our next guest has a really interesting theory as to why. Dr. Brendan Brown joins us now, Chief Economist and Head of Economic Research at Mitsubishi UFJ Securities. Dr. Brown, so how do you interpret the weakness we've seen in emerging markets assets?
I interpret the emerging market weakness as being a first sign of a credit cycle turning globally. And you have to remember that the emerging markets have been the absolute focal point of the credit inflation in this cycle. It's been where the hunt for yield has been at its greatest, and where the various forms of financial engineering and leverage have been at their greatest.
Okay, so this could be sort of the canary in the coal mine.
Definitely more than a canary in a coal mine. I mean, in emerging market economies these days, PPP exchange rates account for 60% of world GDP.
So this could actually signal a real turning point. I'm just wondering how this relates to monetary policies, which, yes, the U.S. is tightening, but the ECB is still holding on. So,
well, I would make the general observation that monetary normalization at this point is a fiction. Even in the U.S., we have interest rates well below the rate of inflation. Negative real interest rates. So from a point of view of money supply, from a central bank side of the equation, there is really no normalization taking place. It may be a bit less in the US than elsewhere, but monetary policy is still set at a pretty inflationary dial. But there's another dynamic in monetary policy, and that's what's happening on the credit side. You can have the central bank still with their foot down on the accelerator, but if the credit cycle is turning, the accelerator doesn't work so well and may even actually not work at some point. And I think that's where we're approaching.
Then, okay, I'm just going to do a brief list of, you know, supposedly the problems in the world, right? Okay, so you've got the Brexit negotiations between the UK and the European Union. They seem to be a mess. You have the political situation in Italy and the potential for some kind of challenge to the European Union and the euro, and Angela Merkel in Germany facing political pressure. You had a change of government in Spain recently. You have the issues related to Venezuela and oil politics in the Middle East. I raise all of the and trade wars in the United States and NAFTA and China. I raise all these things at the same time. We haven't seen a big sell-off in stock prices, and I'm wondering why.
Well, stock prices are not where this all starts. I mean, yes, we can all talk about the bubble and the fangs or whatever, but I think the core of the asset inflation process is in the credit markets. It's in the irrational strategies we see for leverage. It's in the financial engineering which camouflages the leverage, and that's where the irrational forces are. By the by, you get asset prices which may be too high, but that's not where the unwinding starts, or it may unwind at any time. I think just to take your points about Europe, the key point to watch there is that the Merkel era is coming to an end. And Germany is almost certainly, although nothing certain in politics, but is going to swing towards the right, away from the center, euro center. And that presents a big change in the set of opportunities for Italy on the one hand, and also for the UK. And my view on the UK and Brexit is that everyone will remain quiet amongst the Brexiteers in the UK until Britain's actually out of the door next March. But that's when the fun starts. But the fun will start, hopefully, when Merkel is also going out of the door quite soon.
So, you know, you're saying that the asset inflation that's really most important is in the credit markets, or where you need to really focus. A lot of people have been looking to the U.S. high-yield bond market as the canary in the coal mine of cracks forming in credit markets globally, and you just really haven't seen it. Why?
Well, I would say there's two points there. Clearly, in the U.S. market, high yield is related to the price of equity. So if you're still in the middle of a real bull market in equities, that sort of keeps the high yield market up. The second point, which is more strange, is, well, not so strange, is that we had that volatility sell-off in February, but volatility is a way back down again. There is a key mathematical relationship, of course, which every quant will tell you, between rising volatility and the price of high-yield bonds. So that's an accident waiting to happen at some point in the future, but it's not happened yet. So I think the key pressures have been on the emerging markets rather than on the U.S. high-yield credit market.
So do you think that people who are saying now is a time to pick up extra yield, go into emerging markets, are fooling themselves and that there's more pain ahead?
Absolutely. I think the emerging market situation is the center of the asset price deflation when it comes, and it almost certainly will go further. The question is how much contagion is going to be onto other asset-inflated markets.
Give you about 30 seconds. Trade wars and currency wars. Haven't heard much about currency wars, have we?
Which is sort of a big puzzle, because if you were advising President Trump, you would think a big point would now be being made about the manipulation of currencies by Germany and Japan. After all, Japan sticking long-term interest rates at zero with the economy at overheating, and Germany and ECB Chief Draghi, who's fully backed by Bundesbank and Chancellor Merkel, keeping rates negative for another 18 months despite the German economy in boom. What greater currency manipulation can you have? So it's very strange that this isn't really a focal point of US trade negotiations.
Thank you very much. Dr. Brendan Brown is the chief economist and head of economic research for Mitsubishi UFJ Securities. Also the author of The Global Monetary Plague, Asset Price Inflation, and Federal Reserve Quantitative Easing.